Hey there, folks. Welcome to another episode of Tech on Trial. I'm your host, Sal. I have Victor with me. And today we have another treat for you. You're diving headfirst into the world of NLP and how it's transforming the legal profession. So, Victor, let's dive into one more episode. Let's talk about our tech and see how it goes.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's jump right in.
Well, first of all, if you're intrigued by technology and how it's reshaping not only legal, but a bunch of other industries, don't forget to subscribe and follow the next episodes that we're going to release on Tech on Trial. It's just starting, scratching the surface of this. So let's get started. First of all, NLP, and for those who have listened, some of our episodes, we talked about that again. But for those who haven't yet, in a nutshell, what is NLP giving, you know, the legal profession, technologies, computers, or like all of the jazz around the technology? What can you tell us to start?
I mean, largely NLP is sort of giving all of this world that we're talking about sort of the ability to be chatty, you know, let's call it chatty. So in a sense, like NLP both allows machines to understand, interpret, and start to generate human language. So for us, it's called understand, catalog, and search. But in the world of NLP, it literally is just understand, interpret, and generate. So in the end, it's sort of like teaching your computer to speak human rather than ones and zeros.
Yeah, I got it for a couple of years now. And I know like your story and so on, but lately you've been investing a lot of your time in basically creating this kind of an AI powerhouse type of product and so on. Can you share a little bit with us your journey and your fascination about NLP, AI, and so on?
Sure, Sal. Like, I've generally been captivated by how language forms the backbone of communication and how bad language just leads to terrible understanding of things. And I mean, we're both married. If you think of language in regular human constructs, we're talking about if you're bad at language and bad at communication, you're probably not going to be married for very long. So it's similar in industry. If you're bad at language and bad at communication, you're probably not going to be in business very long.
One of key soft skills.
Yeah,
everyone really is kind of required to have it in order to advance career-wise and so on. It's so important.
And you often can see in like junior talent that comes into a company, the idioms, the paradigms of language aren't quite refined in a sense. And it's like they're infantile NLP agents in a sense. They really haven't gotten, it's not that they don't know how to speak, it's that they don't know how to speak in a business environment. That's really the big problem, right? But generally, for technology itself, NLP's ability to sort of bridge the gap between humans and machines is sort of like the big paradigm shift for everybody. And like it's getting to a place where if you don't get into the nuts and bolts of it and you don't really understand all the code, it just ends up being like mind blown, right? It's kind of cool in that sense. Yeah. Like I tell my mom and she's like, you could do that. Yeah, mom.
I think that's kind of what draw the both of us to it, as well as the fascination around how this is really scratching the surface.
And we're still early on. Yeah.
Yeah. And looking more specifically, so NLP, natural language processing, and the essence of it, how it really bridges the human language and the computer understanding, like at those two elements together into a product or technology, is so fascinating.
Yeah. It's like, in a sense, it's really cool that we were in a world, like I remember all of my education was read, 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 read. So like you're reading all these things and you're like, I don't have enough memory for all this. Like I'm taking way too many subjects and reading way too many books for all of it to sink in. So now it sort of becomes like you at least have some off-brain ability to understand these things. So you don't have to commit all of those things to your short-term memory and try to remember them long-term. I mean, if you're writing tests in school, you do, but like in the real life, you sort of now can use tools such as ours or platforms that do NLP things to sort of bridge the gap between not just your understanding and the total understanding of like a document or some content or whatever you're trying to understand, but also just to bridge the gap in you not really retaining all the facts, because it's hard to retain every fact in every piece of paper that you've read, right?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, selective memory, I think it's is the point. It's sometimes I keep asking myself, how did I memorize a song, but I cannot remember whatever recipe or any.
It's crazy. Like, I know all the words to almost every song that I compulsively listened to when I was a teenager. So all of the hip hop, dance, all of those songs that I listened from 12 to 15 before I had a car, I almost know every word, but I don't remember what I ate this morning.
There you go. So what brings me to now diving into a little bit more the legal field. I think the areas that we usually cover in are like the reviewing, the researching, eventually the authoring and so on. Yeah. But let's look at contract analysis, for example. I think that's a critical part of like agreements and so on. That's a critical part of the legal industry that sometimes is either overlooked or so on. Like, how would NLP, for example, impact contract analysis?
Well, if we're looking specifically at contract analysis, like NLP just sort of like takes the density and heft out of it, makes it easy. It sort of becomes a breeze. So like we were saying, it sucks to have to read 43 textbooks when you're a student, but in the real world, you have to read 400 contracts rather than reading 43 textbooks. So it's still the same kind of problem. It's like, I don't have enough memory for this. I also fall asleep when I'm reading because most things are pretty dry. Like whether it's technical or law, like you eventually kind of get to a place where you're like, I'm just nodding off now.
I get wobbly. Yeah.
It doesn't, that's why you see so many like young but gray haired legal professionals, right? Is that they've just overworked a bit, right? You've had to read so much and do so much. I mean, right from school, right until their actual career, it's just read, 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 and then understand, catalog. Like you're doing all of the things that platforms would do naturally for you, you're doing that over and over and over in your head, right? Mm-hmm. So NLP and platforms like ours give you the ability to, instead of like manually going through pages of legal text, NLP really like quickly scans contracts. It identifies key clauses. It flags potential issues. It teases out things that you ought to know about a contract or any kind of agreement, right? All of this, I mean, it does many things, but it doesn't just save time. It ensures like really high level of accuracy. It's like we were saying, you nod off, you forget some facts, all this stuff. It's a computer. It doesn't nod off. It doesn't forget these facts and whatnot. So you have the ability to do a really good job of recall. Additionally, when it comes to actual research, like legal research, NLP gives you the ability to sift through massive databases to find precedent or relevant cases or case law. And it makes the whole research process smarter and more efficient. One thing that we didn't talk about is outside of case law, discovery is much easier. So very often you're looking for a specific needle in a haystack in discovery. Like, it's much more easy to do when you don't have to read absolutely everything and you can just start asking your discovery what it's telling you.
Well, I mean, it's a huge transformation, that's for sure. Like, it's incredibly transformative. Just visualizing all of the nuances of, like, if you can imagine someone who needs to research or review a contract, how complex those things can be sometimes, like a huge stack of paper. Well, file today.
Yeah.
But looking at a topic that I think it's slightly closer to me and to what I've been doing as well, but I'm really interested in knowing your take on the ethical dilemmas and considerations around AI, like all of the marvelous advantages and so on. These are all cool, but there's also the other side, like the dark side of AI, and the ethical dilemmas and so on. Like, what do you see? What is your input on it?
Yeah, I mean, we all know that computers and NLP in general and AI offers like massive head starts or advantages or whatever you want to call it. It's usually in the world of automation. And what it does is it gives you the ability to remove a bit of complexity out of your work by making it sort of easier to digest for you. And it gets you to be more strategic about the specific tactics you have. So in that sense, it's quite nice. But yes, there are considerations. And it's sort of like that Spider-Man saying, it's like with great power comes great responsibility, right? Nice. It's just like the uncle talking about it. And I'm just like, yeah. And I think of that all the time. So with algorithms.
I've been waiting for you to throw that line for 10 episodes now.
It's funny because like the whole Spider-Man thing gets in my head because my toddler talks about Spider-Man now. So that's where it comes from. And just like all of a sudden it jogs your memory, which is not always perfect. In terms of like, I wouldn't call it disadvantages, but things to watch out for. It's essential to ensure that the algorithms, the AI algorithms, and specifically your NLP, so the way you've trained all of those algorithms to do what you need to with NLP, you need to ensure that you're constantly and continuously testing for bias. Mm-hmm. Bias can be introduced in many ways, but usually it's a reflection of the data set that you fed in. So you would hope that you're not introducing some sort of like odd bias to the work that you're doing by only giving it like one or two types of cases. You kind of want to give it, you know, a nice cross-section of things that will work for your specific industry or specific use case. And then secondly, this is not just in the legal world, but like generally for every client that we've ever served and every customer that you've probably ever seen, there's usually privacy or sensitivity in terms of the data that they want to put into a system, right? So the system, the platform, whatever it is that you're using has to have empathy for the sensitivity or the nature of the sensitivity of legal data. And you really have to create a platform that is protecting your client's privacy at every turn as much as possible.
Privacy alone, it's a way larger discussion within AI and like since the internet is internet basically. But regarding the NLP technology and its inception and so on, there's also the challenges around the algorithmic bias, if I may. Like it's not only the bias itself, but there's also the discussion around whomever is creating the technology and how the technology evolves in a sense, teaches itself, and if there is machine learning involved, how can we safeguard that sensitive or legal information and more? Like, do we actually have a way of get rid of that, the bias in a sense? Because all humans, we have biases in our cognitive processes. So like when it comes to the NLP technology and these systems, how do you see that process being handled and what do you think about it?
Right. So generally, okay. It's like a huge topic to unwind, but I'll try to give it a short enough answer that fits into our podcast. Okay. Generally, the bias is no different from our human bias. Let's say we grew up in Antarctica. Everything we would know is white and snow. And I don't mean like people are white. I just mean like everything around you is white and there's snow everywhere and it's cold. And then all of a sudden, if you're transported into the equator, I'm not saying Ecuador, but like somewhere around like the subtropics, now all of a sudden your biases are wrong and everything is wrong about the world and you probably can't relate to it quite as well. It's no different from your algorithms themselves. Mm-hmm. So NLP and AI generally tend to amplify or reflect back the societal biases that are presented in the data. If you live in a very homogenous society, like let's say Iceland, you're going to have very biased data towards that homogeneity of the demographics that are there. Whereas if you live in a very melting pot kind of world, which is the American term, or very immigrant and immigrant friendly, like in Canada, like Toronto, you get a slightly better cross section of cases and of the way things are written and the thoughts that people have. It gives you a slightly better leg up, But it's still not the data set to encompass all people. To remove all bias, you'd literally have to get every piece of data in the world that is not just curated and created by like the West. You'd have to figure out, how do I get stuff from all over the world, you know, sub-Saharan Africa? How do I get it from the East, like the Far East in terms of like Asia? How do I get it from Australia? You know, even though they're very similar to like the West. But you would literally have to do that to remove all bias. So if you're aware that those biases exist, you can constantly and continuously test and refine your algorithms to ensure the best fairness as best as you can judge it. Then, of course, data privacy is a very antiquated thing now. It should be something that exists all over, and that even like just regular platforms that are not AI specific are ensuring. Encryption and access controls really help protect like sensitive legal information from all kinds of unauthorized access. So that is very similar to any kind of like data product that exists. So they both have to live in that world of protecting the data and the access to it.
What's coming in, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, nobody was talking about ChatGPT.
Nope.
People were living their lives in a different way. There was no pandemic and so on. Eh? But going back to what I think it would be a great wrap up for us is based on all of that discussion, privacy, biases, and so on, how do you see legal professionals, for example, being impacted by, how do you see how NLP and all of that discussion in behind the scenes would reshape their work and workflow and processes?
In that specific industry, which is who we serve the most, obviously I have a bias, but I think the future is bright there. What I picture or envision is a world where legal professionals are using NLP tools like ours as their daily companions. It sort of becomes the thing they open when they get in the morning, like they flip open their laptop and they open a platform like ours. It streamlines their workflows and amplifies their expertise. So whether they're a junior or super senior partner, like they can sound like a super senior partner at all times, right?
Mm-hmm.
With NLP and specifically with NLP AI and the kind of automation that wraps all of those together, mundane tasks can actually be pretty easily automated, which gives lawyers and paralegals and the whole legal profession the ability to focus on more value-added activities and more strategic things. As more professionals start to recognize the potential itself, I think NLP will become an integral part of the legal landscape, and it'll be like a huge disadvantage if you're not using one of these tools.
NLP kind of being the email of tomorrow for legal professionals.
That's right.
Something that you do every day, something that you basically rely on to.
That's right.
To your work accordingly. I think that brings us to a great wrap up of our chat, and today was a cool one. I hope we can talk about more like privacy, biases, and so on. So, do you have any final thoughts for our audience?
Sure. NLP generally is starting to open doors to the new era of all kinds of legal practice, where technology and expertise are sort of meshing into a nice little harmonious system, right? But it really is crucial that the ethical and privacy aspects are really carefully examined to ensure that there's responsible integration. And of course, don't just trust the AI and the NLP. Critically look at the things that you're producing and give them a review. You know, make sure that you're still giving it the final look over.
Due diligence, people, due diligence. I think
that's right.
Well said, buddy. And to all of you listeners, you are awesome. If you're excited about NLP, as I am, as Victor is, and the potential that all of that is going to basically impact our lives on in the future, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Make sure to stay tuned for next episodes. We'll be back with more exciting tech explanations on Tech on Trial. Until next time, see you guys.
Have a good week.